How are we doing this morning, Wake? I love to hear that. Who had an amazing Thanksgiving? I want to know who watched the Cowboy game this week. Anyone? A few of you guys? Are you guys, majority, are we Cowboys fans or are we out on the Cowboys? All right, most of us are Cowboy fans. What about last night? I stayed up a little late. Did any of you watch the A&M game this week? All right. Come on. We got some A&M fans? All right, I love that. Hey, last night the Aggies took down number 5 ranked LSU. If you missed it, it was a great game. You should have watched it. All right, I want to throw a few more slides up on the screen, and I just want thumbs up, thumbs down. Are you in or are you out on these other different things that I'm going to throw up here? So the next one I have, the Texas Longhorns. Okay. Lots of booing. We have a few faithful. Okay. Let's take it from sports. What about Logan Paul? Are we in or are we out? Boo. We got a lot of booing. Boo. But some of y'all bought Prime today at Wake. All right. Ryan Trahan. Okay. A lot of us are in. Right. Mr. Beast. My man made it, what was it, 30 days on a penny? Traveled across America. All right, last but not least, are we in or are we out on Will McElroy's TikToks? Come on. Hey, if you haven't subscribed, you should. Will McElroy Media, you should check it out. But these are all things, right? We're either passionate about them. Maybe some of the things I listed you love, maybe some of them you don't that much. But guys, I use that illustration and all those pictures on the front end, and I knew that a lot of them would get a response from you guys. I knew that you would either get really loud, either cheering for or booing for whatever was put up there on the screen. And I kind of start with that because today I want to talk to us about how we actually respond to God. What does it look like for us to be passionately sold out for Jesus or God on a weekly basis? Because I can throw all those things up there on the screen, whether it's sports, things in culture or social media, and they can get a response from you because you're really passionate about them, right? And if I was sitting in your shoes, I would have done the exact same thing. If the Aggies would have come up on there, I would have cheered so, so loudly. But my question and the thing that I want to talk to you guys this morning about is, what does it look like for us on a weekly basis to respond to God, and how do we do that? And so if you haven't been tracking through this series with us, I'm going to kind of start and reintroduce it. But we're going through a series called Habits of Grace. And this is our last message in Habits of Grace. And another word for that is just spiritual disciplines. But I didn't use the word spiritual disciplines for this series because I think when we think of spiritual disciplines like reading our Bible, prayer, those are some of the topics we've talked about, or worship, or you know, evangelism, those different things that we think about are spiritual disciplines. I think for a lot of us, we think, man, if I do all of these things, then I am a good Christian. I am a good Christian only if I do these things. But the definition of a habit is a regular tendency or a practice, and the definition of grace is an unmerited gift. And so for you to pair those two things up and to see that these habits that God has given us in our lives, things for us to practice on a weekly basis, they are actually unmerited gifts that God has given us, things we didn't even deserve, but they give us joy and life if we practice them. But again, it's not for a relationship with Jesus that he's given us these things. It's not to earn right standing with him. He's actually given us these habits or these practices as a gift to us. And so the spiritual discipline I want to talk to you guys about this morning is actually something that you practice on a daily basis. You practice this on a daily basis. And some of you in this room might go like, man, I don't know. I don't read my Bible every single day. I don't know if I pray every single day. Like, what do I genuinely do every single day that is a spiritual discipline? And I mentioned, that they're the unmerited gifts of God. But here's the catch with this spiritual discipline is that this spiritual discipline is not always directed towards God. And the spiritual discipline that I'm talking about is worship. Because everyone in this room worships something on a daily basis. You all worship things on a daily basis. But the catch is that it's not always directed towards God. And so I want to talk to you this morning about worship. And I want to start by giving two definitions of what worship is. And the first one is this: personal worship, right? It's what we value or treasure. And that's what I'm talking about when I say you guys practice this on a daily basis, that you all value and treasure things every single day. And for some of you, that might be comfort, popularity, other people's perceptions of you, grades. It might be sports, stuff, what you get, what you have, the way you look, how other people perceive you. The list goes on. Whatever it is for you that you think about, care about, and value on a daily basis, that's worship for you. That is personal worship, the things that you ascribe your value or time or attention to. For me, if I had to make a list of the things that I worship on a weekly basis, it would be comfort, popularity, or no, sorry, it would be comfort, people's image of me, golf, performance in my job. These are things that I desire and try to hold on to and just ultimately can find rest in an unhealthy way. I ascribe too much value, time, and attention to those areas, trying to seek after comfort, other people's perception, or how other people view me, trying to perform well in my job. And I don't know what that list would be for you, but I'd encourage you and challenge you to think about that. What are the things for you that on a weekly basis you put too much worth or value in, that you worship? You may not realize it or give it that word worship, but that's truly what it is if it's constantly sitting on our minds. I remember a guy shared with me one time this little saying, but he said to me, what you think about, you care about. What you care about, you chase. And what you chase, you become. What you think about, you care about. What you care about, you chase. And what you chase, you become. And so ultimately, the things that we think about on a daily basis, the things that we worship, we are running towards those things. And we will become people, right, for me, that I value a lot other people's perception of me. And so I am slowly, if I give into that on a daily basis, becoming a person who puts too much value and worth in what other people's opinions are of me. And slowly but surely, that will create in me this huge insecurity where I carry so much weight in other people's words and what they think of me. But here's what the Bible says specifically about personal worship. It says this in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And don't miss this last part. It says, this is your true and proper worship, right? To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Paul's saying here, whatever you sacrifice your body for, again, your thoughts, your time, your attention, anything you value, whatever you're willing to make sacrifices for, these are the things that you worship. We see that it's something, it's not just something we do on a Sunday morning at Wake when we stand up and we sing, right? That's a type of worship, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But personal worship is where our heart's at. What are the things that we are ascribing value, time, and attention to? Because it's the things and areas that we're willing to make sacrifices for. And maybe if you've been around here for a little while, you've heard the term hagwow. We say it in big church or the big service all the time. Can anyone in here give me, what does hagwow mean? Have a great week of worship. Right? We got a hagwow shirt on. We got hagwow is something that we say a lot around here. But what that means is that worship is not just something that is done in this room on a Sunday morning at 9:15 in the morning. Worship is something that we do on a daily basis. Outside of the church walls, worship is a way and a posture of our hearts that we live in sacrifice to other, sacrificing for the benefit of others, but ultimately for the glory of God. And there's a quote that I love. It's actually a quote from Tim Keller, and he says this: what happens when people refuse to acknowledge and depend on God as God? Right, so if I don't worship God on a weekly basis, if I don't choose to walk outside of these walls and give God my time, my value, and attention, and I don't choose to worship him solely, this is what Tim Keller says: we do not stop worshiping, we simply change the object of our worship. Right, our hearts are made, God has designed us in a way where we are prone and designed to worship something. We can't turn that on and off. But you have an option whether or not that's worshiping God, because the option is not to worship something. The option is that you are going to have to choose between worshiping God and worshiping all the things that this world offers you. We simply change the object of our worship, right? And so we were made to worship. And I want you to see, right, like that worship is something truly that we do all week long. And your worship, right, you worship through sacrifice. So that might look like for you some examples of how you treat your parents, your friends, your siblings, your teachers, how you spend your free time, what you watch, the way you play sports, what you read, the jokes you make. You worship through everything. It's the example that you set and the way that you love and care for people. And again, that you're willing to take initiative or sacrifice for the benefit of other people. That's your worship to God on a weekly basis. So the second type of worship that I want to talk to you guys about, that is the worship that we do here on Sunday mornings. That's corporate worship, right? And the definition I'd give you for corporate worship is a proper response of praising God for who he is and what he's done. Corporate worship is a proper response of praising God for who he is and what he's done. And ultimately, corporate worship is an outward expression of what is true in our hearts. And for some of you, it might not be true in your hearts. It might be just emotion that you come here on Sundays and you stand up and you sing the words on the screen and they mean nothing to you in your hearts. But the reason why we worship corporately is because there is a power in reminding ourselves of what is true and of God's word. Because it is an outward expression, it is an opportunity that we have to give God glory for who he is and what he has done for us, right? Corporate worship, there's a connection between corporate and personal worship. And I think that corporate worship, that it bridges the gap between our actions and our hearts, right? It bridges the gap. It's a chance to get to respond with words what is true in our hearts. And if what is true in our hearts is that we believe that God's word is true and we believe that Romans 12:1 is true, that we worship him on a daily basis through our sacrifices and the way that we love other people, then corporate worship is just a chance to get to take one step further in that and to worship God collectively, reminding ourselves of what is true and again, giving him glory for who he is and what he's done. Because there is a connection between those things. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." We see it with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Worship comes from our hearts. It's something, again, we can't help but do in response to who God is. And there is truly a connection. I want you to see that personal worship, right, what we value and what we treasure, and corporate worship, which the definition of that was the proper response and praise to God, that there's a connection of those things. And truly what we value and what we give praise and glory and what we give our time and attention to. And so the question I want to kind of bring you back towards and to think about is, why do we worship at Wake on Sunday mornings corporately? And I think if I was in your shoes, if you had to think about that for a second, I think when I was in middle school, I would say, man, I just worship on Sunday mornings because it's what they do at church. I know they do it in big church. I know my parents do it. Whenever I go to like a Christmas Eve service, we're worshiping in there. It's just something you do at church. But this morning, I want you to see and realize that we worship at Wake not because it's a motion to go through or just something that you do at church, but we worship because, one, we want to remind ourselves of what is true, and two, that we can rejoice and give praise to God for who he is and what he's done. And I know I've said those things, but I really want you to not miss them, and I want you to hear them clearly, because I don't ever want to go through a motion or just do something because it's just what you do at church. God has given us the habit of grace, right? The spiritual discipline of being able to worship with our hearts and our actions, right? Worshiping here on a Sunday morning, it's an opportunity to just kind of pause, right? To pause maybe for some of you in the middle of a hard week, maybe the loss of a grandparent, maybe anxiety about grades or friend groups or the way that things are going at school. It's a way, an opportunity to pause in the middle of a disappointment in your performance, whether it's in sports or school, whether it's you pausing in the middle of anger towards your parents or your siblings, an opportunity to pause and think about the disagreements you've had with other people. It is an opportunity to stop in the middle of the craziness of our lives and our weeks and give glory to God. Again, to remind ourselves of what is true. The reality is, guys, that when we pause and we reflect on who God is, we see and realize that in the midst of all of those things, whatever it is for you, whatever you're coming in here on a Sunday morning struggling with, pausing and reflecting on who God is an opportunity to see that he's truly the only one next to you in the midst of those things. You might have other people coming alongside you, and hopefully your small group, parents, leaders, all those people are supporting for you and caring for you, but the only person that can truly be next to you, to truly carry you through all the hardships in your life, is God. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet without sin." God is able to sympathize with us. The word empathy, right? He can empathize with what you're going through and struggling with on a weekly basis. And pausing on a Sunday morning and corporately worshiping him for who he is an opportunity to reflect on that. Right, and think back to our opening illustration, right? I put all of those pictures on the screen, and again, if 13-year-old Jonathan was in this room, I would have stood up and yelled loudly when that picture of the Aggies came on the screen. But I put those on as a silly example, right? Because I got a loud response from you where you're willing to stand up, scream at the top of your lungs, and passionately give your time, value, and attention to something. Right? And for you, maybe it's not sports or celebrities, but maybe it's, again, sports teams. We're willing to get passionate and loud about sports teams, fast food restaurants, shoes, clothes, social media, Marvel movies. The list goes on. There are so many things that we are willing to get so passionate and loud about. But I think for some of us, it's hard for us to stand still for 15 minutes on a Sunday morning and passionately praise Jesus. And I think that is because we have to look inwardly at what are our hearts worshiping throughout the rest of the week. If you struggle to come in here on a Sunday morning and worship God for 15 minutes corporately, then I think for some of us, the question and the place might be to look in our own hearts. Right? God knows that if we aren't consumed by him, then we will be consumed by someone or something else. That if we aren't consumed by God, then we will be consumed by someone or something else. Guys, corporate worship, what we do on Sunday mornings, it's an overflow of what happens throughout the rest of the week. It's an overflow of our personal worship. And we sing because ultimately God calls us to do the things that he knows that we need. That's the way I'd wrap up this series, with all of the habits and the spiritual disciplines that God gives us, that he calls us to do the things that we need. The Bible's not a rule book looking to give you all these things to do, and if you follow them, then you'll have a relationship with Jesus. Then you'll make it into heaven. No, he's saying, man, there's more joy and there's less scars, and there is abundant life found in following the things and the habits and the spiritual disciplines that I've given you. And so I actually want to invite my friend Josh up, and he's going to share a little bit with you more about corporate worship. And you see Josh up here on a weekly basis, right? And he leads us. But I get to spend time with Josh outside of this room, and Josh is truly a gift. To see his heart for the Lord, to see the way that God's wired him and given him a heart for worship. And so I just wanted Josh to get a chance to share a little bit about himself and why he leads worship and what that truly means to him on a weekly basis.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me. It's fun to be able to just share my heart, like Jonathan said, of why we get to sing on Sunday mornings together. And for those of you who don't know, my full-time job is to lead worship, not just here at Wake. I get to do that a couple times a week, other places here at Watermark as well. So it's probably easy for you to look at me and just go, man, it's probably so easy. It's probably always been easy for him to get up there on Sunday mornings and just sing these songs. But that hasn't always been the case for me in my life. When I was in your shoes in middle school and even in high school, you know, I loved music itself, but I didn't have like a passion for singing on Sunday mornings, especially just being like self-conscious about what people thought about me as I was singing, people being able to hear me. I just felt like it never clicked for me until the Lord, I felt like, really called me with this passion that I had for music and this gifting that he had given me to be able to live a life of service to him through leading worship. So I'd love to give us three quick reasons from Scripture of why we sing on Sunday mornings. The first one is that it is something that God commands us to do. like Jonathan said, we don't just sing together on Sunday mornings because it's what they do in big church. It's not something that we do because the church has always done that, and we're just like, I guess we'll just keep doing it, and we don't second guess it or think why. Fun fact, the Bible says the word worship over 400 times. That's kind of a lot. And like Jonathan said, there's examples of personal worship, of offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, but the Bible actually has a direct commandment over 50 times to sing. It literally just says, sing. And I'd love to read us a scripture that he read earlier, but just to remind us, this is what we do on Sunday mornings when we sing. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. So singing is not just something that we do out of being obligated to do it. It is something we do to be obedient to the Lord because he tells us to do it and it's good for us. The second point is that it helps connect God's word from our minds to our hearts and to our souls. Luke 10:27 says, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind. And I don't know about you guys, but man, there's something powerful about melody and lyric that can just help you understand, especially God's word in a different way. What was the last time that you had like a song stuck in your head? For me, the last one I can remember, Anyone by Justin Bieber, it's been a while, but I could not stop singing that song for like a month. And I knew every lyric and every melody. And I felt like if you just read the lyrics to some of your favorite songs, you might enjoy it, but there's just something powerful about the music that comes behind it. You know, they say the best songs are written out of true emotions. And so when we write songs here at Watermark for our church, when we choose songs that we sing here at Wake, we are singing God's word. And what better way to memorize God's word than through melody and through lyric? I think it's easy for us to listen to songs and memorize lyrics that way, just because I think the Lord has designed it to be that way. And there's something about connecting God's written word to our hearts by just singing together, by singing a melody, a lyric that can capture the emotions that we're feeling, because it's an overflow. So we can read and know what we think is true, but the act of singing in worship is just a display that we believe in our hearts that what we're singing is true, that God's word is true. A quick verse, Deuteronomy 20 verse 11 says, to lay up the words of the Lord in our heart and in our soul. It doesn't just say, just memorize the words of the Bible in your head and you've got it. It's like, let it penetrate your heart. Let it penetrate your soul. And I think music, especially when we get to do it together, is such an easy way to do that. And one of the things that I love doing here every week. And the last point is that it helps us remember the past and look to the future. The book of Psalm is actually written mostly by King David. And these were all songs. And there are so many psalms that talk about just him feeling anxious and worried, bringing in to the Lord a lot of emotions that he's feeling. And he's just writing, God, I remember the things that you've done for me. And I trust that you will continue to take care of me. One example is Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. So in those moments, by singing, we can remind ourselves of what we know to be true, even if we're having a hard time believing it and understanding it. There's just something powerful about singing about the things that the Lord has done for us and helping that just change the way that we feel about our circumstances, about the things that are going on in our life. And not only do we sing to look back, but we sing to look to the future. The book of Revelation often talks about just the fact that we will be singing forever in eternity. We won't just be telling the Lord the things that we know that are true of him. We will be singing to the Lord. We will be worshiping the Lord through song of what we know to be true, that he is worthy and holy. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So singing to the Lord together as believers, if you truly believe that he is worthy of your worship, he is worthy of more than just the 15 minutes that we get to sing or the hour that we're here at Wake on Sunday mornings, we get to sing together as a privilege and look forward to the picture of what it will look like in eternity that we get to do. It's hard to imagine on a Sunday morning on the fourth floor of the East Tower to think that it's a picture of heaven, but it is. All of the voices singing as one that he is worthy to be worshiped, and that's what we'll get to do forever. So that's part of why I love getting to do this together. It's not just something I feel like I have to do just to make a living or whatever. I feel like the Lord often says in his scriptures that we are commanded to do it, that we can allow ourselves to know his word in a deeper level and memorize his word through song. And that's part of why I love getting to do this on Sunday mornings. It's part of why I love that our church is writing songs that we get to sing here at Wake too, just because God's word is so important to us. And we get to live a life of that, especially when we get to sing. So thanks for letting me share this morning, guys.
So I love that we got a chance to hear from Josh this morning, and I just kind of wanted to invite him up because you see him here on a weekly basis singing and leading worship, but to get to hear from him what it means and why it's even important to all these people who sacrifice their time, their energy, and their effort to even create a space where we can worship on Sunday mornings. And so, with all the spiritual disciplines and the habits of grace that we've been going through in this series, a lot of them are things that you guys do personally or on your own, whether, again, it's reading your Bible or praying or just things that you do, whether you're at home. But with corporate worship, it's something that we get a chance to do together when we're here on Sunday mornings. And so we just kind of even want to give you a chance, based on what we talked about this morning, to give you a second to pause in the middle of all the things that are going on in your life. In light of all the things that we talked about, all the things that you think about and care about and that you worship on a weekly basis, that this morning would be a chance to just reset your hearts and to worship God for who he is and what he's done for us. So I want to give it and toss it back to Josh and just give you guys a minute to truly just worship God for who he is and what he's done.
Would you guys stand? Let's sing a few more songs.